This is an ABC podcast.
This is Nijan Footy with Sam Wykes and Tinidar Arona on ABC Radio Australia.
Talofalava to our Samoan listeners. It's two Mondays in a row that we have Samoan legends on. This time in league, though, get ready for Samoan and Cook Islander. Don't forget for tea, Raiders great Josh Papali'i on Nijan Footy today. To everyone else, welcome joining us for Nijan Footy, the number one spot to champion our Pacifica stars in the rugby league and rugby union worlds. My name is Sam Wykes, and alongside me is a man who I think will be trying to convince the big papa to don the green jersey and play for the Cook Islands T. Is that right? Is that going to be your first question?
Kia ora, everyone. Yes, that will be my exact first question is he Cook Island and can he play for the Cook Islands? Mate, Josh Papali'i is an absolute legend. With State of Origin coming up, he's played 23 games for Queensland. And what's that? So eight series?
How many has he won?
Oh, he would have been part of that eight in a row, and obviously, or not last year, but the year before as well. But then also represented Australia and tour Samoa, and he's itching 300 games. Is that the word, itching?
Yeah, he's itching, scratching. Can't wait. Itching. I've got no idea. I wouldn't know.
He's coming closer to 300 games for the Canberra Raiders, so really looking forward to having a chat with Josh Papali'i. And New South Wales and Queensland Origin squads have been announced, so we will run through the squads. Sammy, a big show coming up.
Yeah, it's a massive show. We can't wait. We've also got the last round of Super Rugby coming into this week. Some big score lines. Everyone except the Waratahs are alive in finals contention. So one game to go. So it's a big week in rugby union as well.
Moment of the week.
Yes, our moment of the week this week. But before we get there, I just want you to have a listen back to our show we did with Sikopa Kepu.
Body is feeling a bit sore now after a few games. But yeah, look, I've just been, I guess, very lucky. It seems like everyone I talk to encouraged me, and it's a bit of motivation for me as well. All they say is, bro, just keep going. Just don't stop playing.
So off the back of that, T, are you across the rugby union news? Do you know what's happened here with Sikopa Kepu?
Yeah, he announced his retirement last week. Yes. So after our conversation with the great man,
I'm pretty sure obviously I said, not keeping going.
You know,
he's done.
Once you're retired, you're a long time retired. And the announcement, was it last week?
Throughout the weekend, week. Yeah, just before their last home game over in New Zealand for Moana Pacifica. Again, big congratulations to Sikopa Kepu. It's our moment of the week. He deserves everything that comes his way. And I thought it was a classy touch from his old club, the New South Wales Waratahs, who they played and they beat on the weekend. And they did this for him at the end of the game.
This game has given me so much. Tonight was pretty special. To go and run against you guys, you know, I still believe blue. Tonight we just wanted to make our family and our friends proud here at home. Yeah, look, I'm truly grateful for everything that the Tars gave me, and grateful for what Moana has given me, the revival of trying to build something here for our Pacifica brothers has been something very special.
Yeah, it's a beautiful moment there from the Waratahs. Jed Holloway, Jake Gordon presenting Sikopa with a jersey just in remembrance of that game and what he did for both clubs. So much love and ofalahiatu to Sikopa Kepu and his family.
Bula, my name is Vani Are. You're listening to Nijan Footy.
Footy results and news, Sammy. I'll start with the NRL. A few milestones over the weekend. We've seen Fijian and Melbourne Storm prop Tui Kamikamitha play his 100th NRL game for the Melbourne Storm. Congratulations to Tui and his family. Great achievement and a great milestone. And our good friend, PNG star Alex Johnston, he equals the second NRL all-time try scorers list with Billy Slater scoring 190 tries in total.
190 tries?
190. What did I say it was last? when we had that chat?
106. And 103, and it was 163 or something.
And if you're interested in that interview, you can catch that wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, 190 tries.
190. So he's our equal second with the great Billy Slater.
Wow.
Over the weekend, I'll start with Jerome Loy for the Penrith Panthers.
What a masterclass, eh?
An absolute masterclass against first-placed Cronulla Sharks. They won this game 42-0, but just want to touch on Luai's performance. I really think that he's taken on that responsibility and led his team without Nathan Cleary, Cleary being out with a hamstring injury. I think as a half, he's thinking run first, you know, playing square. We touch on it when we talk about Isaiah Katoa, where when you run first, you're engaging defenders. And, mate, he's got that skill to, you know, once he sees holes, once he sees space, he picks the right pass, or he steps off that right left foot or right foot.
I think that exactly what you said there with his running options, it's not just running just to take a hit up. He's actually running, drawing defenders. He can change his pace to be able to get a ball away or accelerate through a hole. And man, that try that he scored was outstanding when he did that.
Yeah, and he had more defenders than attackers on that short side. It reminded me of the grand final try that Nathan Cleary scored last year.
Yeah, of course, yep.
When they all overchased. But the other thing I loved about this game was that he stuck to his kicking game. You know, that game plan, he poor Sione Katoa, you know, on that right winger for the Sharks. He just kept chipping away and peppering him. He did drop one, but he didn't go away from it. And I think that, you know, they just kept building pressure and played the game down their end. And, you know, we've seen him being announced in the New South Wales Blues squad. A huge game. He scored one try, had one try assist, ran over 100 metres as a half, two forced dropouts. So his nice little grubber game. I think he put one on his, like, the outside of his right foot, kicked one with his left foot. Two line breaks, two line break assists, five offloads and nine tackle breaks.
Kenny, blind side left to Luai. Steps in field, straight past Hazelton. Beats Kennedy, he's over to score. Oh, the Panthers have come to play. And maybe it's the wrong time to face them after a loss. 10-0 Penrith, Jerome Luai the try.
In my next game, Sammy, you'll never believe it. Another Hopewadi has entered the NRL.
I know.
Another one.
You know, their first cousin made his debut for the Titans too, on the wing. He scored a try.
Oh, that's
their first. Oh, that's
Tony Francis.
Tony Francis. That's Hopewadi's sister's boy.
Is it?
Tony Francis, yes.
I was going to mention him next, but mate, what a family, eh? The son of the legend, John Hopewadi, Lehi Hopewadi, made his debut on the weekend. And you know, he played at fullback. I thought he was electric. The Seagulls won this game 26 to the Storm 20. So beating, it's mate, must be a hard place to play at Manly. But the player of the player of this match, I thought, was Tommy Talau. So he's another son of a legend, former New Zealand and Samoan international, Willie Talau. He killed it. He scored two tries, four tackle breaks, and also had two line breaks as well.
Last tackle, Seagulls. Dummy half Lawton. Goes left to Cherry Evans. They got numbers. Hopewadi links up there with Tommy Talau for the goal line. Does he get over there? The Seagulls fans are up as one in the hill there in that corner. 10 metres out for the goal line. This capacity crowd starts to make some noise again. Played and it comes left to Brooks in centre field. Then wrapping around to Cherry Evans. Away to Hopewadi. Short ball on to Tommy Talau. And he's able to score easily.
Two tries for Tommy Talau. Now, you mentioned Tony Francis for the Gold Coast Titans. I want to give a quick shout out to the Titans because they beat the Broncos 36-24. And I thought the fullback for the Titans, Keanu Kinney, Mini Kinney, I heard they call him. He was absolutely on fire in this game. Four offloads, two try assists, six tackle breaks, and over 250 metres for the young kid.
Plenty happening in NRL there. Nijan Stars killing it.
We haven't even got to the origin yet.
Oh, we haven't either. That's right.
But remember, you can get every NRL game each week live on ABC Radio Australia. And New South Wales jersey flag, Kaviti Silktails, they lost to the Newcastle 52-18. Were you cheering?
I thought.
Did you think it said?
When I said that on the sheet, because the name was first.
Win, yeah. Nah,
I was about to jump up. Okay.
Still struggling, the brothers. It will come. It will come. In the Queensland Cup, we're seeing the Mackay Cutters beat the PNG Hunters 40-26. Now the Hunters now drop to the eighth place on the ladder. Now off to the big game. The squads are announced, Sammy. State of Origin, game one. We've had the Blues and Queensland teams both announced. What are your thoughts?
Well, obviously, my thoughts don't matter because I want to get rugby league experts here, and that's yourself, T.
All right.
I want to know what's...
Hit me, mate.
Like, give me three things that stand out to you from this Origin campaign, especially with some of the players that missed out.
I'll start with the Blues team. I think with the new coach, Madge, he's picked every player on here on form who he believes is playing well. So you look down the list, you got one thing that sticks out to my mind actually is the eight ex or current Penrith Panthers players on the list, and that also includes Dylan Edwards, who has been on fire, and he takes, you know, James Tedesco.
That is a big spot. Call.
That's a big call, a big one to... You know, live or die by the sword if you're going to do it. Well,
oh, he's made a statement, yep.
I think Dylan's made for it, mate. I think he'll do a great job, and especially when you see the other players around him, other teammates or ex-teammates of his. I'm very interested to see if they put an all-Panthers stacked left edge or ex-Panthers where you'll see Jerome Luai at half. You've got Liam Martin at back row, Stephen Crichton at centre, Brian Tottle on that same wing. But the two,
yeah, even though Crichton is a doggies, but we'll still class him as
ex-Panthers.
He's still a Panther.
Dylan Edwards
in that back line, he's a Panther.
Dylan Edwards at back, out the back. So, is it Nico and Jerome Luai going to be screaming for the ball? And we always go one side. So we'll see. But the two names that stand out for me in the New South Wales team is off the bench, Haumole Olakau'atu. Yeah, getting his opportunity, mate. He's been unreal for the Manly Sea Eagles, and Spencer Leniu. Yeah, he's made for Origin, I think. I think he'll do a great job making a big impact off the bench, just his leg speed, tough carries. Looking forward to those two coming up against Queensland.
When you see, look back at past Origin games, the bench, how crucial are they to be able to play multiple positions or getting meters or getting game time? Like, is that one of the biggest factors on whether you're going to win an Origin or not win an Origin with the type of players you have on the bench?
The bench's role is to change the tempo, lift the tempo of your team. So coming on, adding energy, finding an early carry, getting the quick play the ball. One thing that stands out to me, though, with the Queensland team is they've put Selwyn Cobbo on the bench as part of their four-man interchange. So having an outside back isn't... And a hooker means you've only got two middles. Now, we do have, in this game, the fittest of the fit. So, you know, with all players, they're at their best. So, just looking at last year's series where New South Wales probably lost a couple outside backs, and then you had players that had to play out of position. Now, one player that comes to mind is Nico Hines. Someone gets injured in the Blues team. He has to cover centre. He's not a centre, and then they pepper that side and score that winning try down that edge for Queensland. Now, having a back will cover that problem. So it might be a one-off game where you have a back on the interchange to cover them injuries. What else stands out for you, Sammy, on the Queensland team? We've seen...
Probably a simple one that stands out. There's not as many Tongans as Samoans.
There's Potuaika.
And Haumole, just the Haumole. Two. No Fijians.
There's a Cook Islander there, Valentine Holmes.
Oh, Val's got
there. There he is. Oh, actually, big shout out to Brendan Piakura making the 19th man for Queensland. So another Cook Island brother of ours. Yep. And yeah,
Xavier Coates, PNG, he's there.
He's there. Xavier's on the wing there for Queensland. Hamiso Tabuai-Fido, another Samoan.
Man, plenty of Samoans. Outstanding. So what's your prediction?
I'll go New South Wales to win in a close match. And I'll say Joseph Suoli'i will have a blinder for the New South Wales Blues.
Love it. Absolutely love it.
Let's head over to Rugby Union, where you'll probably be quick.
What is happening in rugby? I don't even know what's going on here. Just what's the point of even writing my notes from the weekend when I'm competing against Origin, Magic Round,
Women's
NRLW,
Origin.
Record-breaking crowds,
Hopewadi family,
and I've got in the draw or lose again on the road. Nah, look, it was big news in rugby union, and I'm going to start with Moana Pacifica. They had a great win over the Waratahs in their last home game of the season, winning 27-12. And as we mentioned earlier, it was a special home game because three of Moana Pacifica's OGs, the originals, they will be finishing up at the end of the season. Sikope Kepu announced his retirement. Solomone Funaki, he's heading over to the Dragons Rugby Football Club in Wales. And Christian Lilifano, he's moving on as well. I'm not sure where to, but all three of those players are finishing up from Moana Pacifica. They were there from the start. And I think it was just such a fitting way for them to have a farewell, like the way that they did. It started from right at the beginning where the three players were able to go out onto the field, walk out onto the field with their families by their sides. So we saw Sikope lead out with his family, with his kids, and then followed by Christian and then Funaki as well. And I think it was just a special moment just seeing how proud the wives were of their partners walking out. There was a nice slow walk. You just see the joy on their face. It was also obviously emotional as well. But the kids, you know, with their shirts on, and just soaking up that moment with their dad, and for the players as well, looking down, you saw Sikope look down at his kids. He looked at his wife. Christian did the same thing, and so did Funaki. And you just looked like in that moment, the people that mattered most are next to me right now at this point.
I love as a player too when you see that. It kind of inspires you, you know, as a young Polynesian player watching that unfold. You're like, man, one day I want to drive to be in that position.
You're not wrong, T. Like that's what it's about at the end of the day. Look, results aside, rugby league is going to finish at some point, and you've got the people next to you that's been through thick and thin and helped you get to where you are. And without them, it just doesn't – one, it probably doesn't feel as full, you know, like a full cup like you would if you didn't have them in your corner. And I think it's just such a beautiful way, and I loved how they captured those moments for them going out there. But for someone like Sikope Kepu, he's playing against his old club, the Waratahs, where he played the bulk of his Super Rugby career, won a title with them. He also scores a try in that game. It wasn't the most flattering try. It was just right next to the line, 30 centimetres out, pick and go. He scores, but he gets that opportunity to go out like the champion he is. So congratulations to him once again. But for the Waratahs, you could have fault their effort, but they just fell way short on their execution. I think the opening 10 to 15 minutes, they had close to 80% possession. They looked dangerous with ball in hand. They were winning the game line, quick ball. But it was just all their good work was undone continually by just turning the ball over. Like, you look at guys like Mark Nwanganitawase playing fullback, one of their biggest strike weapons. He couldn't even inject himself in from fullback and get any clean ball. And the fact is, he touched the ball once in 20 minutes, the opening 20 minutes. Like, that's your strike player. You want him touching the ball as many times as you can to, you know, create something. But it just didn't happen for them. Moana, they weathered the storm nicely, and they didn't waste their opportunities. Fullback Kyron Taumoifolau and Fine Enisi, they were both on fire, both scoring two incredible tries each. You know, Moana's scrum dominated the Tars, and it just makes sense, to be honest, why the Waratahs. They haven't got one. They've got 16 front rowers injured. 16 in total, front rowers only. Not one.
16 front rowers?
Injured this at the moment. They don't have.
How many front rowers are you allowed in your squad?
Well, to be honest, they don't have. You would only have about six fully contracted. So they've had to search far and wide to get some from club footy and everywhere else, and they don't have one fully contracted prop available to play. So it's just been a season to forget for the Waratahs, and I hope they can turn things around. But Moana had plenty to play for, and I'm sure Tana Umanga would have been very proud of his men and the performance that they put in for those three players that we mentioned. But the Fijian Drua, Sunday afternoon game against the Highlanders, your hometown T. And I'm sure the coaching staff and all the other players I'm sick of talking about as well is trying to win away from home. It is.
Oh, it's a cold place down in Dunedin. It was freezing. As well.
Oh, you look at, it's funny when you look at their social media when they were training before they left to Dunedin. Singlets, sweat towels, like everything was out there. As soon as they landed, like they were just rugged up.
Beanies, jumpers,
everything.
Jackets.
Yeah. But the Highlanders had clear intentions from the get-go. Minimal phases, kick early in their own half, send a rabbit, as in a chaser to put pressure on the catcher, have a connected line in defense behind, flood the breakdown and just flood the next three phases.
Were you ever a rabbit?
I was more like a sloth. I was that guy on the backfield, like, get off the ground, hurry up, get in the defensive line. But yeah, and the Highlanders did that so well. Like, they dominated the kicking in that game. It was double the amount of the Drua. And then because the Drua are a run first team, when they tried to kick it back, normally in your own half, you play three phases. If you don't get the momentum, you kick. Whereas the Drua, they like to play five, six, seven phases before they think, oh, maybe we should kick. And because they're not really, you know, tactical thinkers of that aerial game, their kick's either shank or it's like a little grubber or chip kick. Sometimes it comes off, but more often than not, they just put themselves under a lot of pressure. So we just look at the stats here. The Highlanders, 228 tackles to the Drua's 113. The Rucks, you know, the Drua had 118 rucks compared to the Highlanders 75. So you can just tell that the Highlanders just wanted them to play all the footy. And when it was their opportunity to play on the front foot, they made the most of it.
So they played the territory game.
They played the territory game and they played more phases in the scoring opportunities and won 39-3. So that's it for the Drua. No, sorry, that's not it for the Drua. They've got to go this weekend. They must win this weekend.
They win, they're in?
They win. So if we look at it, the Drua, Force, Crusaders, Moana, all fighting for one spot in the top eight.
Oh, what?
All four of them. All of them. The only team that is out of this mathematical equation is the Waratahs. They're done. Even with the results where they went, who could finish on top, who would finish second, that's still up in the air because of the results. So some teams have cemented their spot, but this week is crucial. And we look at the Crusaders play Moana in Christchurch. The winner will leapfrog the Drua and go into the top eight by Friday night. The Drua play the Rebels at Churchill Park on Saturday afternoon. If they win, they're in. Force play the Brumbies in Perth. And I don't know what the Brumbies have already cemented third spot. So who knows what team they will send over to Perth to play against them because they've cemented. So
no matter what happens, if Crusaders or Moana win, and if the Drua win, Drua go in.
Drua
lose, and the Crusaders or Moana win,
yep,
that team will be going through.
That team will be going through. Oh, so there's a lot
to play in there as well.
But yeah, you're right. The Crusaders, still a chance. And I'll tell you right now, if they do sneak through, you don't want to be playing them in finals footy. And that's it for rugby union.
This is Nation Footy.
Even though she did say she was going to join us, Shelley Long from PNG.
She lied.
She lied.
No.
Yeah, satellite. No Wi-Fi. No good.
So no good. No satellite. No Wi-Fi.
She's left us to cover the woman's footy. I'll kick us off with league and you'll do the rugby union. So wish us
is her all last the best. Name Wikes by any chance? Always away at the moment.
Well, she just won the grand final.
Oh, fair enough. Oh, yeah,
in her competition. Mackay Cutters beating the North Devils 16-6. So I don't know if she's in PNG or she's on Mad Monday. And did she score? I don't think she scored.
Nah, she didn't.
So we'll be giving it to her next week when she's here covering the long story short. There's been no changes in the New South Wales Women's State of Origin squad. They're looking to sell out the Newcastle game for game two. Close to 30,000, apparently. So
another...
Break the record.
So they broke the record last one, 25,000, and it's looking
plus,
like 30.
We're closing in on 30. Held in Newcastle for game two. Big game for the Blues.
It will be. Do you think Do you think they'll go 2-0?
Mate, I kind of know they'll go 2-0.
Well, unchanged, they're confident.
Told you, mate, they haven't even unleashed Salah yet.
Salah, yeah. Oh, okay, sweet. So they'll be definitely 2-0. So is anything? Is that all in rugby league in the NRL? We're killing it with Shelley not being here with the information.
Nah, that's it. That's it for rugby league. What we got in rugby
Union? Well, rugby union, the Pacific Four Series. Again, we said last week it was going to be a tough task for the Wallaroos to get over the New Zealand Black Ferns. They haven't beaten them in 25 occasions, and it was 67-19 to New Zealand. So it was a big result there, and that means
Wallaroos are relegated.
Relegated to the W15-2, which is in South Africa in September and October, where they have tests against Fiji and New Zealand in July. So all they had to do was win one of those games. Not all they had to do. It's tough to win a test match. But if they won one of those games, they were automatically qualifying into the World Cup. But because they didn't win a game, they get relegated. Now, as Sarah Nagama put it, they've got to take the scenic route to World Cup qualifications. So they've got a big road ahead of them for next year's World Cup in England.
Jeez, Australia Rugby Union is not
don't. We're not here to kick them down while they're down.
Mate.
Leave them alone. Leave them alone. Leave that job to me. Oceania Rugby Women's Championship kicked off last week up in Brisbane. Fijiana beat Tonga in the first set of matches, 48-3. Vani Are, who we had on the show not long ago, go back to our latest podcast. You can hear her and what it meant for her to play for Fiji and the Drua. She scored two tries in the first half. Waisenga also killed it in the Super W. She scored a double as well. So the Tongans have a lot to do. So hopefully Kef brings us the good oil on Friday and lets us know he was up there helping them with their preparation. And Shelley, anything else around the traps? Anything else we got over there?
Yeah, great work, Sammy. I thought we done our best. Hopefully next week we get Shelley back.
Culture shock.
Yes, we have our culture shock where we get to learn about our fellow Pacific Islands. Last week, I took you to Pompeii to let you know it is one of the wettest places on earth. Average rainfall of 7,200 millimetres. And that's still from memory, T, but we're going to go to Tahiti.
Mate, what have you got for me? Your memory is like a goldfish. I know that for a fact.
It remembers the weirdest things. I don't know why. Anyway,
off to Tahiti. I'll keep it nice and short and sweet. So,
a bit like yourself.
Yes. The word tattoo itself comes from the Tahitian word tatau. So you think about all these words that we use. And
I can see this.
The word tattoo actually comes from Tahiti. Tatau in Tahitian means to mark or to strike. It refers to the Polynesian practice of tattooing, which has been a part of Polynesian culture for thousands of years. As you're aware of, many of our stars across rugby league and rugby union represent their cultures on the patterns on their skin. So
how do you say it again?
Tatau.
So who's going to be doing your tatau, Nijan Furi tatau, on your bum?
I will see after you ask me these questions at the end of the show.
Oh, so yes, it's coming up. Hang around for that one.
Let's go from one legend last week who we had, Sir Michael Jones, one Samoan legend, to another, Josh Papali'i. Mate, let's get into it.
It's Nijan Furi. With Sam Wykes and Tinira Arona.
Well, Sammy, with State of Origin coming up, we've got one of the Queensland greats. Honoured to have him here on Nijan Furi. He's coming up to his 300th game for the Canberra Raiders very, very soon. He's also played 23 games for Queensland, represented Australia 11 times, and 10 games for the Tor Samoa. Talofalava and kia rana, we have Josh Papali'i.
Thanks, lads. Thanks for having us on.
All right, first question. Are the rumours true?
Oh, he's been waiting for this one. He's been waiting to ask this question.
Are the rumours true? Are you Cook Island? And if you are, any chance of adding the Cook Islands to the list of great teams you've played for?
Yeah, of course. I'm a little bit cookie. Grandma's cookie. My mom's mom, and I think she's from the beautiful islands of Atutaki in Rarotonga. So I'd never say never. You know, the World Cup's not too far away. And yeah, of course, I would put my hand up, but yeah, just got to see how the body holds up there.
Oh, there it is. He holds you. That. Is that the Atutaki Bears or the Tupapa Panthers?
You're talking about Avatu.
Oh.
The Avatu Eels.
Sorry. Oh, the Avatu Eels.
Atutaki is the whole other island. You know that with the nice lagoons?
Yes. The on-water lagoons.
Yes. But yeah, no, it's a beautiful part of the Cook Islands. And Dad's from Cook Island, so that means we must be cousins.
We all are.
Let's go. Origin coming up. Is State of Origin the pinnacle of rugby league? Is it the toughest games that you've been a part of?
Yeah, I'd probably say yes. You know, it shouldn't be. I still think playing for your country, you know, representing your country should be number one. But Origin footy is so big that, you know, sort of takes away from the international game and, you know, people in New Zealand, Australia, and then you obviously got the islands and, you know, people in England watch it as well. So it's definitely, you know, being the toughest 23 games of my career and something I always cherish.
When we speak to our Indonesian brothers and sisters that represent their nations and we talk about when they put their jersey on, they it has that special energy and gives that bit of power to their feeling of or their game. Do you get the same feeling when you wear the Queensland jersey?
Yeah, of course. I think the sense of belief, the sense of belonging in that jersey. I was born in New Zealand, but raised in Logan in Queensland. And yeah, I just felt like every time I watched State of Origin, it meant something to me. And yeah, every time you went to school the following Thursday after the Origin game, you know, you're either crying or you're happy. It's no different when you go to a Queensland camp, you enter that brotherhood. Probably some of the most favourite weeks I've been a part of is Origin camp.
Man, we're definitely going to touch on some of your, you know, playing for Samoa and playing for Australia, but with your retirement from Origin, do you have itchy feet to get back in that Coliseum?
Nah, definitely not, eh? I think my body is just too far gone now for that kind of arena. I've recently turned 32, like 3 weeks ago, and yeah, look, I'm happy with my decision. I'm happy with the career I've had in Origin footy. But yeah, you know, obviously watching last year's series, not being a part of it, you know, I was very happy that the boys won, but it just shows that they don't need me, which is good. But yeah, always happy with what I've done in that arena. But yeah, happy to let it go for sure.
Man, 32, still young. I'm pretty sure Paul Gallen played when he was like 40. when you announced your retirement from State of Origin, you know, what was running through your thought process? Did you have discussions with your family? And yeah, tell us about that that moment when you did retire.
I sort of knew myself after my last game in 2022. I knew deep down I was sort of done. The physical side of things with Origin, being away for the whole week and a half, but then you take into account, you know, the 10 years before that. And the ones that really suffer is my wife and my kids. I've got a daughter that's turning 10 this year, and all she's known is, you know, Origin, the Raiders, and the few World Cups in between. And, you know, I finally had my first bye in many years, and yeah, got to go to Tasmania for Joseph Tapney's 30th. Actually did things on the bye and spent my last couple of days with my kids and wife, and I knew from there it was time to give it up. And obviously told my wife first. Yeah, shared a few tears of joy, and just being happy with what I've done, and just dropping that there and just moving on.
Wow, that's awesome, bro. It's something that the public doesn't probably acknowledge or realize, the time that it takes to go into these camps, and then, you know, you're sacrificing that time away from your family and, you know, that time to freshen up. So I bet you'll enjoy this series coming and have a few cold ones. But my last question related to State of Origin, is it true Wayne Bennett said, excuse my language, no haircuts, but you were allowed to have your mullet?
Yeah, I never met Wayne before this. There was an article that came out. I had like a dirty mullet at the time, real short on top and real long at the back. And article come out saying, no shit haircuts in camp. And first day, I walked straight up to him, and he said my one was all good. And, it went from there. We had a real good relationship. He sort of just called me the old man of camp because I love to sleep in. I was always sort of late to everything and, always just tired. But, it's true.
Oh, wow, that's unreal. Man, a similar story happened to me. I didn't want to get a haircut. I know you can see my hair. And I got shown the door straight away. So I hadn't earned the respect from the coaches on the field to be able to get away with it. But let's touch on some of the relationships you've had with, say, like Ricky Stewart and Wayne Bennett. I guess when we've spoken to young Pacifica players, how intimidating those type of figures can be, especially if they're like a bit more very harsh or, very stern with the way they speak, and sometimes we can go back into our shell. How have you managed to navigate those type of coaches and have the relationship you have with them today?
Yeah, I think it's definitely a big one for the Pacific boys coming through. My biggest thing was always to just be myself. I'm not going to walk into camp and try and be someone else. I am who I am, and people just have to accept that for what it is. And as long as I'm being respectful to others, not trying to be anyone else, I feel like people will always respect you that way. And I felt like my relationships with Wayne Bennett, my first coach, David Ferner, and then Ricky Stewart, I haven't always been on the good side of things. I've had my falls, in media, and I've been to court, I've done bad, I've done good, and I can honestly say I've always just been myself. And I think that was my biggest thing, coming into the NRL and, just earning respect and sort of giving respect where, people deserve. But it's always hard when you got figures like Ricky Stewart and Wayne Bennett, especially when, say, you're playing bad. Those hard words can take people the other way, but I've always taken it on board as good criticism and, just good feedback, and obviously just go back and work on it.
Yeah, that's unreal, man. I love that because, as I said, some of our Pacifica talent, they shy away from those type of characters, and they'll probably have then that perception gets built on, why they're not performing or whatever, but sometimes just being scared to open up. But, man, I love your honesty on that. So just moving forward, let's talk now with your representing Samoa at the 2022 World Cup. I know you've previously represented them in 2017. When you went into that 2022 side and you saw the team and the names on that, like Brian To'o, Junior Polo, Crichton, Suaalii, Jerome Luai, what was it like when you first assembled in camp and you looked around and you go, oh, wow, this is actually real?
Yeah, it was pretty surreal, eh? Well, that whole year, I think, people were just putting out their predicted teams and what could be. I think it was just more, oh, man, what could be? And walking into camp was just like, oh, it's actually here. And, I think one of the first days I walked into camp and, seeing Jerome, who I was in camp with in 2017, Brian To'o, and then obviously Junes as well. These faces and names were actually, assembled. And, straight away I could, feel that we could do something special. And, I thought we did. Obviously after the first game wasn't happy times there, getting pumped by England by 60. But, I thought we regrouped, pretty well, pretty quick.
No, you definitely did make a huge impact across Australia, New Zealand, the UK. Man, my kids aren't even Samoan, and they thought they could just find a little bit of Samoan somewhere. Yeah. One thing I've always wanted to ask you was, you've played for Australia 11 times, Tour Samoa 10 times. What are some of the differences between playing for both nations?
Yeah, I think it just comes back to really who I am as a person. Oh, don't get me wrong, I'd love representing Australia as well. And actually was lucky enough to win a World Cup with Australia and then obviously going to a grand final in the World Cup with Samoa as well and versing Australia, two different feelings and, but belongings as well. And I felt like when you're playing for Australia, you're playing with all these talented men that you're about to do something special, and then playing for, you know, the motherland of Samoa, you're playing for the people, you know, you're playing for my parents, my children that are Samoan, and, you know, everything just means a bit more. And Samoa is just a little country going up against, you know, a massive nation like Australia. And it's, yeah, look, just making the final was special. And, you know, doing the Civitao in front of the England people, it meant a lot. And yes, we did lose the final. We got pumped in the final, but still to this day, it still means a lot. And every time I go back to Logan and see the Samoan people, you know, these Samoan people are still happy and, you know, they're still prideful of what we've done. And it's 2 years on and they're still happy. You know, I just felt like the movement wasn't only for the players assembling together, but it was a country to come together. You know, whatever differences you have, we're all one. And I felt like we had the support of the other Pacific nations as well, you know, Fiji and Tonga, and they jumped on board as well. And yeah, just a special time to be a part of. And yeah, that's probably one World Cup I'll never forget, just because of who put their hand up to come together and actually represent Samoa. And, you know, beating England in the semi-final, you know, that was something special. It was just, we're expected to lose. We arrived at the game, you know, late. We turned up, we weren't ready, and, you know, some of the best players in the world, you know, put the best performances on, and, yeah, just a campaign I'll never forget for sure.
Well, I've already planted the seed. I'm hoping that you'll start that movement for our Cook Island brothers and sisters.
You and Brad Takaragi.
And then you got to get your mate Jordan to come back. Oh, Jordan Lapana played one World Cup for us, and then he went to Kiwis, and we haven't seen him since. but speaking of Jordan and your teammate down at Canberra Raiders, you know, you're coming up to 300 games for the Canberra Raiders. Have you got the date set? You know, what game it will be? What would that mean to you to represent such a great club and play? It's such a huge milestone, 300 games for the Raiders.
I probably haven't looked that far, to be honest. Approaching this season was more, you know, one game at a time, just try and play some decent footy. And once I hit finals, you know, you want to be playing your best footy. And yeah, I get reminded all the time because our gear manager at the Raiders is a massive, like, diehard Raiders fan, and he's always counting down by games. And I've got 8 games left until 300, and yeah, obviously going to be a massive milestone in my career, and such a special one as well. To do it at one club would be very special. But until I hit that milestone, I probably won't look too far ahead.
You know, those milestones, they're such an amazing achievement. And when we've had guests on before, they talk about the sacrifices of their parents and those that came before them to help them be where they are today. Your parents and your family, do you have anything that really sticks out to you that you saw and the sacrifices they made help you get to where you are today?
Yeah, parents are up there for me. The most beautiful thing I think my parents done for me and my siblings was take us to church, teach us about faith. So that's the biggest thing my parents could have done for me and my siblings. And it's one thing we're trying to steal in, you know, me and my wife to our kids. Yeah, look, my parents have sacrificed a lot for me and my siblings, and I can sit here and talk about my parents all day, and I'll probably start crying. And my wife had been the backbone to my career. I get to come home and relax, and my wife, obviously does it all. But I can't thank my parents and my wife enough.
Oh, I absolutely love that, bro. It's something that I know in our Pacific culture that we hold close to our hearts is our family and our faith. Yeah, I love hearing that from yourself. I got a few quick fire questions. First one is your toughest opponent.
Probably Sammy Burgess, just tough as nails, eh?
The great Englishman. your toughest teammate that you've played with?
Probably like a Jordan Rapana. You know, he would go and fracture his skull and keep playing. He's tough as they come, Jordan.
Who was your hero growing up?
Hero? My mum. Yeah, like I said before, just the sacrifices and just who she is for me.
The favorite game you've played so far in your career?
2019 prelim, yeah, down in Canberra. That was a massive one for our club, and finally getting into a grand final and then losing to the Roosters.
Who was that against, the prelim?
South Sydney.
Oh, big game.
Big game. Big game.
And yeah, that was at home down at Canberra.
Down in Canberra. Yeah, big crowd. And then, yeah, I think we won it on the hooter as well. So,
and that grand final, I'm sorry for bringing it up, but that was a bit closer than
no, you're not. No, you're not.
That was a bit closer than what what everyone remembers, right? It was, could have went either way.
Yeah, just one of those games. But you played in that one, eh?
Nah, mate. I was over in the UK.
They shipped him off by then.
Playing kids. I was
made the grand final.
Yeah. Oh. Last question for me, these quick ones. So actually got a question sent in from a big fan of yours, and he asked, what is your best advice that you've been given? that question from Uncle Sia.
From Sia. Oh, bro, this one makes me giggle because we had a some golf thing at the club, and he freshed out, you know, us fobs, bro. We laugh when you say something wrong, and I didn't even hear what he said too.
I think it was like, he was asked, what was your best advice? This is Sia telling me, and I go, all I said was, oh, my best friend once told me. And then now all of a sudden he gets teased for saying, my best friend.
Oh. Hey, we all have those moments. We have them every Monday here on Nijan Footy, so don't worry about that. But before you go, I just want to just touch one more thing. But you've mentioned your mum so many times, and I just want to know, when you put that Samoan jersey on to represent Samoa, can you give us a bit of a rundown on what that conversation like, or the phone call you had with your mum, and how much it meant to her?
Yeah, that's a funny one, because mum doesn't even watch football games, bro.
Oh, doesn't she?
Only my dad comes to the games, and I think the Magic Round that just passed, that was my mum's first game in a long time. And
no way.
Yeah, she doesn't really watch football games. I can tell, because I've had some of my worst games, and I'll get like a text message and be like, oh, son, you were the best player on the field. And I'm like, oh. But yeah, like obviously when I told mum that I was representing Samoa, very happy. But yeah, like I said before, she doesn't really watch football games. I think she more get a kick out of if I was to tell her I'll represent Cook Islands, because she obviously knows we're a little bit Cook, and that'll probably be something that she'll be proud of for sure.
It started, Sammy.
There it is.
It started.
There it is. He's going to be playing soon. Perfect.
My last question before we head off is, what would your advice be to a young Pacifica athlete coming through the ranks right now?
Work hard, have fun, never forget about your faith. And just be real, be yourself. I've always said that I'd rather be loved for someone who I am than be loved for being fake. So yeah, just be yourself, go out there, work hard, live and learn, and good things happen to good people. So yeah.
Whawhatai lava and mai taki ma'ata.
Now that's unreal, man. It's simple messages, but couldn't be truer for all the young listeners out there. But from all of us here at Nijan Footy, we just want to thank you for your time. Really appreciate you sharing some of your stories. Nothing but love and respect for what you've done in the game, what you're going to continue to do in the game. And can't wait to see you get that 300 for the Green Machine.
I might have to come down to Canberra with Uncle Sia. I know he will definitely be there for your 300, because I want to join in the party, man.
Yeah, him and his best friend will be down there. So perfect, mate. So take care and all the best.
Thank you. Thanks for having us on as well. And all the best for the year.
This is Nijan Footy. Nijan Knowledge.
If you're new listening to our show, we finish Nijan Footy Mondays with Nijan Knowledge, where Sammy or myself will ask three questions, and we will keep a score, and the loser at the end of the season will have to get a tattoo, Nijan Footy tattoo on their bum. And the score is Sammy's on 7, I'm on 5.5. Yes, we did half points as well. So three questions, past, present, and out the box. Here we go, Sammy.
Here we go. Okay, the first song I'm going to play, a little clip. It's Isaiah Katoa's grandmother. She was at the game yesterday supporting her grandson, but she was also supporting someone else who was playing for the other team. I want you to see if you can pick up on who that player was when she says her name.
Tell it again because I can't hear the...
Here we go. Can you pick up on the name that she says?
I can't pick it up at the start. It's like something.
So she's gone, yes. So her daughter, Leka, has said, ahai. So who in Tongan? Who are you supporting there?
And okay. I'm going to pick a player for
the Warriors. So this is Isaiah's second cousin. Played for the Warriors.
Tongan, second cousin, Warriors. All right. Dallin's Tongan. You know, I'm going Dallin.
You going Dallin?
Dallin for the Warriors.
No, it's not Dallin. It's Moala. Graham Dalfour.
Oh, yeah?
Dalfour. He played in the centres. And that's, Isaiah's second cousin from the other side. And so she goes, Moala for the Warrior, Isaiah for the Dolphin.
You know why? I didn't watch the game yesterday because I was playing my footy match.
Is that right?
Yes.
Okay,
80
fair
minutes,
enough.
Well, anyway, 80 minutes in the middle.
Shout out to Isaiah's grandmother. We're getting closer. So I'm going to ask Isaiah's grandmother to then ask Isaiah to get back on the show.
I think I'm just going to ask Isaiah myself.
You have, and he's
seen. I haven't asked him.
No, you said you went to his Instagram and he's seen.
No, I actually said good game. I didn't say good game. You want to jump on our show.
Oh, okay.
Just planting seeds, mate.
We'll get there.
How can we get, Payne Haas, Josh Papali'i?
Right, let's go. Right.
And can't get your cousin.
I know. I got Sir Michael, but anyway, let's move on. The captains for Origin have come from the same club. Right, Manly, both Trbojevic, DCE, same club. This has happened in the past twice.
Has it?
Yes. One of those times, the captains on this particular time was a Nijan superstar. Who was it?
Oh, I'm going to go Petro Sivanisiva.
Oh, no, it wasn't.
Who was it?
It was Brad Fittler and Adrian Lamb. So Adrian Lamb being the PNG superstar, Captain Origin.
If you said the club, I was.
I know, that's why I couldn't say the club. You just would have got it straight away. But there you go. Happened on two occasions. Mal Meninga and Laurie Daly was the other one. So we could have actually said those two. Big Mal as well, South Sea Islander. But last one, this is a 50-50. Did you watch the Japanese League One Grand Final on the weekend?
Absolutely not.
Okay, so you'll know who won between Marika Korombeti's Panasonic Wild Knights versus Richie Moonga's Toshiba Brave Lupus. Who won?
50-50. All right, I'm going with Richie Moonga.
Yes, they did. 24-20. They beat the Panasonic Wild Knights. So there's one point for
it. Itching in closer.
What's that? Seven plays, 6.5.
6.5. Wait till my questions.
Okay. Oh, don't be silly, but that's our time up for today on Phoenician Footy. Remember, you can catch up on our chats with Sir Michael Jones, Vani Are, and plenty more, which you can listen back to wherever you get your podcasts.
Ka kite.
This show was produced on the lands of the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation.